This is the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. This week, we're going to talk about a major outage that happened over the holiday week. So this happened the day before Thanksgiving on November 25th, and that was a major outage of a service within AWS. And this had pretty far-reaching consequences across a number of different services. If you're a customer of Ring or iRobot, which makes the Roomba, like, you would have noticed the effect of this outage, and it was fairly prolonged. So it was a pretty big deal. So we're gonna just talk about that particular incident today. So first thing is that this was not a network related issue. So it kicked off, there was a maintenance window in which some servers were added to a service called Kinesis, which is like a real-time data processing service and for streaming data. And then the issue started to kick off around 5:15 a.m. Pacific time on November 25th. And over the course of a day, there was a number of mitigation actions that were taken by AWS, but it wasn't fully resolved until 10:23 p.m. that evening. So we're talking all day.
No, and one of the things that, you know, is unique in terms of the resolution of this outage is that there was a lot of... I wouldn't necessarily say back and forth, but time taken to identify the root cause. Yep. It was suspected to be, you know, something else, but then the root cause turned out to be kind of a latent issue, which kind of the update or the increase in capacity triggered. So I think that explains, that was one of the reasons why it took long to even figure out, okay, what was happening? How do we like rectify it? But then, another reason, as it has been laid out in AWS's pretty detailed, like, you know, post-outage description, is that in terms of bringing back these servers, you couldn't like bring them back all, you couldn't restart the service all at the same time. So they kind of had to get, you know, spread out during the course of the day. So something to the effect of, you know, they could only add back servers at the rate of, you know, a few hundred per hour. So by the time they scaled back, it pretty much took the whole day.
Yeah, it was really interesting because as you said, you know, they did an update. It wasn't the update itself or the adding of additional servers, but it hit up against a limitation that was within the system prior to this. So as you said, a latent issue, which was also the cause of some previous cloud outages that we saw, like, for example, Google and Microsoft. And the limitation was, you know, just an operating system configuration that limited the number of concurrent threads that it would support. And then because of that, that started to trigger errors and they started to see issues. But what was kind of interesting about this is just the, not only the impact to the customers using Kinesis, but also how it affected other services within AWS that had some dependency on it. And in some cases, the dependency wasn't critical. Like, they could still, in theory, function with Kinesis not being available to them, but they were still highly impacted by this.
Right. I think Cognito is the one that you're referring to, which is more like...
it's an authentication service, yeah.
Right, for logging in. And the way Cognito uses Kinesis is to, you know, collect and analyze some API trends and all of that. So, you know, Kinesis is not really in the workflow, if you may, to log in or to authenticate.
But yeah, it's not essential to the functioning of Cognito,
Right, but the dependency in Kinesis, while it was processing all of these, you know, API requests, and the delay there kind of choked the authentication workflow itself. So folks were unable to like even authenticate into Cognito. So that was one type of dependency.
Yeah. And it really revealed kind of like the resiliency fault lines, if you will, with that, with Cognito and Kinesis, and how what they thought might have been fault tolerance, what that mechanism wasn't actually working. And so, you know, that's in their postmortem. They did say that that's something that they're hoping to address, or have already addressed. So that's kind of one issue where it's like, even within AWS, there's a lot of like, they're using their own services quite heavily. And so there's a lot of interrelated dependencies across them, but also with their customers. I think it's interesting because, as you mentioned, like it could be that they had a customer who was reliant on Cognito, not on mm-hmm. Kinesis, that mm-hmm. would have been impacted. And we've seen that kind of hidden dependency issue in a lot of outages, right?
Yeah, especially like if we rewind 3 years, and you know, if we remember that S3 outage that happened again in AWS. There were a bunch of services that were dependent on S3. Now, a service like S3, and if you're, say, hosting a website, for instance, within AWS, you kind of understand that it's not necessarily a hidden dependency. You know that, you know, you're dependent on S3 right. if there is some storage there. But so that's a good example where S3 went down and some of AWS's like monitoring on status pages went down too with right. that. We'll get back to that in terms of, you know, how to monitor and like all of that. But, you know, the point of hidden dependency, and then we were talking about that just before getting on this show, is like, okay, I know as an enterprise, I know there are some certain dependencies while I'm, you know, putting my service on AWS. And you can ask the provider in terms of, you know, what your resiliency and then failback mechanism is if one service goes down. But what about all of those hidden dependencies that, you know, you have no idea about, right? Like yeah. CloudWatch using Kinesis, or right. Cognito using Kinesis, or maybe service A using service B and service B using Kinesis. Then
exactly,
you know, all yeah. of those cascading dependencies, like mm-hmm. as an enterprise, you actually have no idea about.
Yeah. And there's a few things, I mean, here that I think, you know, are takeaways. One of them is, you know, there's really is a need when you're using a lot of these external services, things that you don't control.
Yeah.
There's an increased need for transparency.
Yep.
And transparency can be achieved a couple of different ways. One is just knowing that you need to be asking these questions and demanding that your providers are clear about what the underlying architecture is of some of these services. So you understand like, okay, you know, what happens if, you know, this goes down and what are you relying on? Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, just the need again, when you don't have control of a lot of these services, you need to be able to see them and understand, for example, if you have a critical service, you know, maybe you need to be monitoring that service and know, for example, do they have one DNS provider? Do they have multiple yep. DNS providers? And so really kind of start to map out, you know, what your issues could potentially be if something were to go wrong. And that's why monitoring is just so important.
Speaking of monitoring, yes, CloudWatch, again, yet another service, a pretty popular AWS service, right? That again, now uses Kinesis for processing metrics and log data. And there was definitely an impact in terms of, you know, being unable to collect your metrics. If you're relying on CloudWatch and say you were a customer that was impacted by this, your first like, you know, impulse reaction is to go check your monitoring system to see if it was you, if it was, you know, somebody right. else. Right. And there you go. If you're relying on CloudWatch, then you were like, you know, pretty much dead in water there. Like you really didn't know what was happening. Right. Again, very similar to what we've seen in the past with the S3 outage as well. Like I was saying, I remember trying to get into the, you know, Amazon status, like, you know, page in terms of what's going wrong, and that didn't load because of that internal dependency. Now, I believe based on the, RCA, Amazon's planning to add some kind of changes that will allow CloudWatch users to, you know, access metrics within a 3-hour window locally. So, you know, you yeah. might not like, you know,
yeah.
See an issue, but this was more than a 12-hour window. So,
right. Right. And also I think it just, you know, provokes the question of, you know, do you need more kind of independent
monitoring or
monitoring
not.
Capability? And you may still use CloudWatch, but you also may need something, you know, to independently monitor.
Triangulate, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like who watches the watcher, right? Like you want to make sure that you're not overly right. dependent on one particular entity.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, right, like in this example, for instance, like you as an enterprise relying on Kinesis, for instance, you are pretty much not going to be able to do anything in terms of solving the issue. But, you know, at least if you know there is a problem, yeah, there is exactly a level of communication that you can send back to your customers, like, you know, kind of explaining what the issue is, or at least giving them a heads up, right? Because a lot of this is relying on brand loyalty and, like, you know, making sure protecting your own brand as well, especially with this increased dependency that we're seeing in the age of the cloud right now.
Absolutely. Really, really interesting lessons. And again, like, a lot of these recent outages were kind of, it's just another illustration of what we've been talking about all this time.
And, you know, going back to a couple of points that we, you know, touched about, right, Angelique, like, in terms of monitoring, and it's usually thought about from an operational standpoint, right? Like, okay, I need to make sure my service is working once it's live in production. But even from that angle of, you know, understanding those dependencies, right, that has to happen in the architecture stage of, you know, as you're thinking about moving your apps, right? Mm-hmm. Because who knows what dependency your app would kind of get impacted with as well. Monitoring is the second aspect to it. But just identifying those has to happen kind of in the baselining and readiness phase of, you know, your cloud deployment and cloud migration itself. And then
who's watching the watcher, but also thinking about monitoring, as you're saying, from a lifecycle standpoint, right?
Exactly.
Like, you really kind of thinking about it at every stage from your, you know, from the architecture standpoint, from the services selection, vendor selection, resiliency, fallback, you know, Q&A, rollout, and then operations. I mean, it's just at every stage, right?
Every stage, like, monitoring becomes important. And then the other aspect, which was interesting to me, is, like, you know, probe your cloud provider, right? Like, ask these questions. It's totally fine to ask these questions and kind of have them be transparent. And I think most of the cloud providers, you know, are transparent, especially in the case when there is an outage, in terms of giving RCA and things like that. And I don't think anybody tries to willfully hide information. It's just a matter of help them sometimes connect the dots, right? Like, in the case of Cognito, or in the case of, like, you know, CloudWatch, like, these dependencies existed, but, you know, they didn't catch it themselves. Like, you know, they didn't know it could have impacted this way. So I would rather think of this as more collaborative, in terms of, you know, help them connect the dots in that way. You're benefited as well in terms of identifying these.
Exactly. And they have a lot of customers. And so you really need to understand how their services are impacting you, and then communicate, to your point, and collaborate as needed, because maybe they've tuned their, you know, their service or their routing in a particular way, but it might be impacting you, and that's not optimal. And so, but if you have information that you can share, if you have evidence of a particular state, you can communicate more effectively, and then typically that's going to work. That's going to get you a resolution, and it's going to get you the transparency that you need to operate effectively.
And we've seen this, right? Like, we produce a cloud report every year, and there are certain anomalies that show up, and cloud providers are pretty good about, like, making sure those are rectified, because at the end of the day, you know, their business relies on, you know, enterprises. So making sure that experience is good is up to their advantage. So it's not anymore placing blame, but it's more about, like, let's educate, be transparent, so, you know, we can all benefit together. So we've actually seen, you know, personally, that some of these outages or some of those anomalies that exist, they've actually been rectified pretty quickly. And it's just been a positive approach there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Right. So that was our roll up of the AWS outage. Again, you know, it's all about the dependencies in this brave new world. So, you know, make sure that you have the lay of the land, so to speak.
Right. All right. With that, we'll wrap up today's show. And Gavin, we know you were interested in seeing this show, so hopefully this was useful for you. If not, let us know how else we could help. And again, for the rest of you, don't forget to hit subscribe, follow us on Twitter. As always, if you have questions, feedback, if you have any interesting guests that you would like to see on the show, send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. And if you're new to the show and you want to claim your free t-shirt, that's the same address you hit, internetreport at thousandeyes.com with your address and t-shirt size, and we'll get that right over to you. And with that, we'll see you next week.